Lord, what should we do together as a church family? And one of the most natural things for us to do is discovery Bible study. So before we get into this, I want to give you just a little bit of an outline as to why discovery Bible study. And I'm going to just give you a few kind of headlines, really, and then we're going to give it a go. So for those that don't know what Discovery Bible Study is, DBS, it's a way of hearing from God through the Bible, where in a group we get to look at a verse or a few verses in the Bible, and then we ask some questions with the expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us through those questions that we ask together. So with our Bibles in our hand, with an expectation that the Spirit of God is going to lead us to Jesus, we get to dig in and to mine the riches of God's word together. We ask four questions traditionally. There's kind of different ways of doing it, but these are the ones that we ask. We say, what stands out? So somebody will read the passage, and then we'll ask, what stands out to you? And each person in that group, normally kind of between 5, 6, 7, or 8 in a group, they'll say, this is what really stood out to me when I heard it read. This is not opportunity to preach. This is an opportunity to say, actually, this is the bit that really grabbed me. We then ask, what does it tell us about God, about the character of God, the things that we love about him, who he is, what he's like? We then ask, what does it tell us about us, about people, the good, the bad, the brilliant, the ugly? We're honest with each other and say, this is what I see about humanity and myself in this passage that we're looking at. And then finally, this is where it gets kind of interesting, and if you're up for it, it gets a little bit exciting as well. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us to answer this question: what will I do in response to what we've looked at together? And this is where traditionally what we do is we'd say, all right, begin a sentence with I will. And a heads up, we try to go for stuff that is specific rather than general. To give you an example, maybe you read a passage of scripture and you feel convicted, okay, I really want to show kindness because I'm struggling to do that. So you might say, I will be kind all week. No, you won't. If it's as broad as that, you just won't do it because none of us do. So what we'd say is, okay, be specific. I'll be kind this week. I'm going to bake a cake, buy a bottle of wine, and take it to my mate who's having a hard time. I'm going to express kindness through a specific action. Does that make sense? So four questions that we ask. The why do we do it? Just for a couple of minutes, I'm going to give you an outline as to why we do it. First of all, we love God's word. There's not a more trustworthy place that we can go to hear the voice of God than through the word of God, through the Bible, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us and leads us to Jesus through this incredible collection of books. We believe in teaching, just to be really clear. We love teaching. To evidence that, we spend a lot of time planning series. We've got Helen Painter from Bristol Bible College coming next week to kick us off on a new series on the book of Judges. It's going to be great. So we really believe in Bible teaching, but that is not the only way that we are made to engage with the Word of God. I often think about teaching being like one string on a guitar. Any guitarists in the room? A handful of you. Oh, a couple of surprises there, actually. Okay, good. If you had a guitar and it just had one string, you'd be able to make some noise, but not as much as if you've got all six strings on your guitar. And I think we need to know that Bible teaching is essential, but there are other ways that we're to feed on God's word. And that can be individually in our own kind of personal study. It can be together with the people of God in an individualistic Western society. We find this stuff a bit harder, but it's a beautiful thing when we hear God speak through his word, through other people around us. So we are made to feed ourselves, we're made to feed together, as well as listening to teaching. So just to say, over the years, and other people would testify to this around the world as well, where this has been being done for a couple of thousand years in different shapes and forms, I can say completely honestly that I have heard things through a Discovery Bible study that I just have never heard before, whether it's listening to a podcast of my favourite preachers, or sitting, having a quiet time with God, an extended time where maybe I'll sit with scripture for hours. There is something around being with the people of God and asking questions of one another, expecting the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We are made to ask questions. Just turn to the person next to you and say, is that true? It is true. And if you look at the life of Jesus, he absolutely loved questions. He asked, anybody want to hazard a guess? 307 questions. Those are just the ones that are recorded. He was asked 183 questions. Do you know how many answers he gave to those 183? I actually did it, didn't I, with my hands? Three, just three, because he would quite often come back with another question. He believed in the power of questions, of our inquisitiveness, of that part of us that wants to dig in rather than just being told, here's the answer. We actually discover truth together. We are made to be hearers of the word and to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And many of you will know that verse in James 1:22, where it says, do not merely just listen to the word, but be doers of the word. And the last question that we ask in Discovery Bible Study, the what am I going to do in response to what I've read, is a really important one. Because let's be really honest, in the Western church, very often we come along to church and we hear something and we think, wow, that's fantastic. Dave was really good. Jeremy was really good this morning and I loved what I heard. And then we go away and we do what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Sometimes. Not every time, but sometimes. When it's Jeremy, you always go away and do something. But we quite often, we will go away and we'll get on to the next thing. And one of the really good things about a Discovery Bible Study is we ask this question, what are you going to do in response? And there's this lovely accountability to one another as family, as friends. So that actually the next time you see the person that was in your group, what's the most natural question in the world to ask them? How did it go? Did it work? Did you do the thing that you said you were going to do? In our house group, for the first time ever, right, Rachel, this Thursday, everybody except for Scott had done the thing that they said they were going to do. There's other weeks where everybody has not done the thing that they said they were going to do. But actually, it's a really good thing to circle back and say, we saw something in the Word of God. Did we do it? How did we get on so that we can grow together? The Holy Spirit speaks through the Word. You know that, don't you? That is one of the things that the Holy Spirit loves to do. Hebrews 4:12, again, a verse that you know well. It says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. So the word of God can cut through your tiredness from a late night last night. It could cut through the lies that you believe about yourself or you believe about God. It can cut through your lack of faith. Somehow the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus in the Word of God. It's one of the reasons I love the Scripture so much, that together with your Bible in your hand and the Holy Spirit at work in your heart, you get to discover truth that is transformational. Okay, are you ready to give this a go? I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it. In a moment, we're going to get into groups of between 5, 6, 7, maximum 8, but probably ideal number is about 6 people in a group. And we're going to ask those 4 questions together. And I'm going to encourage you to be as bold as you can be, to be really open. But I want to give you just 2 things that I'm going to say, which is important. One is, if you don't want to speak, you don't have to. This is a safe space for us together. So if you're here this morning, you think, actually, do you know what? I would rather just listen to the people in my group. That is completely fine. And God can still speak to you. And here's what I reckon will happen. I reckon he will speak to you. So feel completely at ease to not speak if you'd rather not. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do when you get into your group of between 5, 6, 7, or 8 is to, for one person to volunteer to read the passage. I'm going to read it to you now, but then I'm going to ask you, one person in your group, to read it and for everybody else to be listening with those questions in mind. What stood out to me? What does it tell me about God? What does it tell me about people, myself? And what might it be that God wants me to do in response to that? So I'm going to read this passage, and then we're going to make some noise and get into smaller groups of kind of 5, 6, 7, or 8. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. This is why I have come." Okay, we're going to go for it. So we're going to ask you to do it as quick as you can, but just make sure everybody's included. Groups of kind of 5, 6, 7, or 8, just turn your chairs around, go for it, and then we'll come back and we'll kick off with our questions. Okay, I'm going to pray. because this is something we do with the Holy Spirit, not just with our minds, not just with the things that we know already, but we're expecting the Holy Spirit to speak to every single one of us. Amen? Come on, we can do a little better. Are you expecting the Holy Spirit to speak to you through the Word of God this morning? Okay, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you together as church family that you love to be known. We think about Emmanuel, God with us, the very reason you came in human form, so that we could know you, we could hear your voice, and you could know us, you could hear us. Father, we thank you that you modeled asking good questions. And Father, we want to pray right now as we dig into this lovely four verses in the book of Mark from the New Testament. We pray, Holy Spirit, would you lead us to Jesus? Holy Spirit, would you reveal truth to us about ourselves, about the world that we live in? Holy Spirit, would you inspire us to respond to your word, to be doers, not just hearers of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, hopefully you've got somebody that you've got your eye on in your group that's going to be up for reading this. Maybe that person could read it and then jump in with that first question, all right? So give it a read. Let's have the next slide up. That first question, what stands out? So as you're listening to the person read it, just have a think. What really stands out to you from the passage? And then begin to share those things. Go for it. Okay, good. I reckon we're all there. So jump in with that first question. Let me encourage you. Encourage each other. It would be great, wouldn't it, to hear from different people in your group. So go for it. Don't do that English thing of waiting 3 minutes and then saying, here's the thing that stood out to me. So just jump in, give it a go. You've got 3 minutes and I'll call you back then. All right, just give me a wave if you heard something that was kind of different to what you saw. Did you hear something that was kind of like, oh, I hadn't seen that? Yeah, a bunch of you nodding, yeah. It's good, isn't it? We're not going to come round and ask questions on this one, but the next one we will, all right? It's voluntary, so we'll just come and anybody that's brave enough. But we're going to go on to that second question, which is, what does it tell us about God? So I'd love you to share in your group, as you look at this passage, what do you see about the character of God, what he is like, what it tells us about God? And again, 3 minutes, go for it, as many of you in your group as is willing. I was eavesdropping on a couple of groups and already just hearing some beautiful things, some really lovely things about the character of God, one that I've never heard before. I've looked at this passage loads of times, one that I've not heard before. Maybe it'll come up. So I'm going to ask you to be brave. Joe and I, we're going to come around with a microphone. Just a headline. We'd love you just to share some of those things because there's something that happens in your group. There is a shared kind of perceiving, seeing what God's saying through the Holy Spirit. But that actually broadens out as we listen to one another. So I'm going to encourage you, be brave. Tell us what you saw about God in this passage. What did it tell you about God? Who's going to be brave?
We said that on that morning, God's heart was all about mission and the message he gave to Jesus. And then, yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Just to summarize what I was hearing from others, there's something around... the confidence of the goodness of God through this story, that people are looking for Jesus, this is why he's come, and a kind of sense of like renewed confidence in us as we look at that, of like God's doing stuff and people do want to know about him.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? That sense that people are hungry for God. In the earlier service, somebody said something similar, that maybe Jesus wanted to move on, to leave a hunger in those that they would come after him. Yeah. Yeah, Tom.
We all had similar stuff. But it's just that thing of the up in and the out. Jesus did that. You know, the up was in the morning with his father. And then the in was, as David said, he didn't tell the disciples to go away. He was like, come on, let's all go. And the out was going and spreading the word.
That is good.
Got some wisdom from the back here, Matt.
That's great, Tom. Thanks.
So we were talking about how... when they look for him and find him, Jesus doesn't sort of say, okay, I'll go back to where you were. He goes to somewhere else, and how God's heart is to find those who are lost and to reach out.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Seeking out the lost.
I think kind of most of us, we'd be like, oh, let's just put down roots here. Let's set up Jesus Ministries International. Jesus is moving on to the next place. Anybody from either of these groups willing to be brave?
I think one thing that stands out for me is... the value that God places on prayer. We see that everyone was looking for Jesus and he was still very busy, but he still had to create that time to go and pray. And the second thing I also noticed is we've been given the Great Commission, yes, so we see the value that Jesus placed on that as well. In as much as everyone was looking for him, he did not let that conflict with his purpose. So he said, let's go somewhere else because that is why I have come. Yeah.
I love that idea that before Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he was doing it himself. Again, I've never heard that, but what a beautiful thought that Jesus was actually modeling the Great Commission and listening to Father in preparation to go before he said it, yeah.
Yeah, a bit more obvious, but out of that place of prayer where Jesus was learning about his mission, that's a good place and model for us to start. So if we start our day inviting Jesus into our day and include him in everything, then, yeah, it's a brilliant place to be.
Yeah, thanks, Claire.
So important. Thanks,
yeah,
Claire.
And another thing we noticed that Jesus had respect for his Father. So regardless of who he was or who he is, he still had to submit under his authority, and that's God. And then the other thing is we noticed that also he's omnipresent. So regardless of him also going to find time, also people are looking for him. So yeah, that was another thing we noticed.
It's beautiful, isn't it? That thought that Jesus, who is God, he himself kind of submitted fully to the Father.
Just the fact that Jesus was inviting us to join in with this, that it wasn't, I must go out to other villages, it's you must come with me to other villages.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? That little word there, let us go. It's not a kind of a, I'm going, do you want to come? But yeah, team. We are going to move on to the next question. Question three. We're going to be honest. What does it tell us about people when you read this passage in Mark 1? I reckon you're going to remember this passage this week because we've been digging into it. But what does it tell us about ourselves, about you? Be really honest, the good and the bad. Go for it for 3 minutes. We'd love to hear some of your, what have you seen? What do you feel God's shown you? It's this honest question. What do we see of ourselves, of human beings, in this passage? Who wants to be brave?
We were talking about quite a few things, but I think one of the things that we talked about was when Simon and his companions were looking for him, it almost showed a normal humanity, a bit of a panic, a bit of a concern about where he was. And actually, that kind of linked in with our God is omnipresent. So we were kind of saying that actually, you know, instead of looking for Jesus first and worrying about that, they perhaps needed to look to God first. And I think as a human, we do that a lot. So we suffer from something, go for the panic, and then we perhaps reach for God. And actually, maybe what we should be doing is reaching for God first and panicking.
Yeah, a great picture of ordering in our lives. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Holly. One of the groups that I was eavesdropping in, I was listening in, was saying how the tangible, the things that you can see with your eyes are so much easier to go to, rather than this God that it takes faith to go to. And we do that naturally, go for the easier often, rather than the thing that's a bit harder, but potentially more important.
Not unrelated, that the people who had experienced him wanted to keep him close and not worry about others.
Yeah, something of that kind of being honest, that selfishness that's in all of us, right?
Yeah, we were saying how much we all really need good role models. And left to our own devices, we're not so inclined to do the good thing. But a good role model is to look up to really helps.
Yeah, and Jesus just does that beautifully. It's kind of outside the box. This group over here, we're saying how, oh yeah, we expect Jesus. We want him to do things. We build him in our own image. We want him to do things the way we would do things. But he doesn't. He's God. And he does things. But what a great role model. Yeah.
We were thinking about how this parallels when Jesus went to the temple as a child and his parents were rushing around looking for him, and how his priorities and our priorities are often very different. And as was said before, we need to get our priorities on God rather than on the stuff around us.
Oh, that's beautiful. Again, I've never heard that before, but that kind of almost like echo back to that time in the temple where the parents were like, hold on, where are you going? But he knew where he needed to be. Yeah, any others? We move on. Okay, We're going to do this fourth question, which is a bit more unusual for churches in the West, because we're quite used to hearing something, going away in our own space and time individually. We'll decide what we'll do about it. Here, we're going to ask you to be brave. We're going to ask you in your group to just be willing to explore the idea of, I could do something in response to this bit of the Bible. And I'm going to pray quickly. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will help us. And I'm also going to pray that we'll help one another. In our house group, pretty much most weeks, we have to help each other. I'm probably the worst in our group. I say, I've got a bit of something, but I can't quite get it. And people will help me to be specific. They'll help me to, they know me. So they say, what about this? And so I'm going to encourage you, even though these are not your kind of natural groups, because you just sat where you sat this morning, but I'm going to encourage you to encourage one another to something specific, and I will in response to what we've heard. So Holy Spirit, thank you that you love to reveal more of what God is like to us. We thank you for that. We thank you that you encourage us to be real about our own brokenness, how we're incredible on the one hand and then selfish and messed up on the other. And Father, thank you too that in response to your word, you can give us faith that something can be different, that we can take a step that says actually we're going to trust that our God is for us. He lives inside of us by his Spirit. And his word, well, it doesn't just do nothing, it does something. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, give us faith now as we talk with each other about what would it look like to respond to this passage and to see God move in and through our lives. Amen. Okay, going to give you a little bit longer on this one, 3 or 4 minutes. So hopefully everybody that wants to in your group, you'll get a chance to say, this is what I'm thinking. Here's an I will. Here's a response to this passage that we've read. Anybody up for sharing their I wills? Okay, good. Suzette? Maybe Joe, do you want to get a Suzette?
Oops, sorry. Miles away there. Tomorrow morning, being very specific, I will, when I get up, get into God's word before I look at YouTube.
I like it.
I love it. It's an honest one, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Challenge and here's the thing, church. When you see Suzette next week, you can say, how'd it go? Did YouTube win or did God's word win? So, yeah, it's good. Keep on going. Let's have a few others.
Oscar, you've been nominated.
Absolutely. So we were saying that if Jesus needs to go somewhere quiet and solitary and pray to God, then we definitely need to be doing it. So actually all three of us had the same idea that we will get up in the morning, go to a different environment, quietly on our own, pray, read our Bibles, start the day like we should.
It's good, that jumped out to me, that you don't just go downstairs, like, I think, oh, you need to go downstairs. He went out, didn't he, because he knew how distracting it was being in the house. Yeah, it's good.
That is good. Be great, wouldn't it? Maybe text each other. 6 a.m., are you up? Anybody from this group? Kind of a sense of an I will?
I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to Minehead next week, and I'm going to find somebody I can share a picture with from the Lord.
Good, yeah. Amen.
What Kennedy over here?
In the coming week, I'll tell more people about Jesus at different places, whether it's at work or people interact with, because the challenge is that Jesus had already preached to the whole village and he actually was going to the next village. So it's a challenge for me to speak to whoever is just next to me, my neighbor at work, about Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
That's great. Good. Good. Love response. That.
Anybody from you guys? Any kind of semblance of an I will? Yeah, great, Claire.
Can I be quite honest? We're really struggling because we have little children who are always around us. And I think this week I've let go of a bit of the guilt of I can't sit down in the early morning because I'm shattered. I can't do it in the evening because I'm shattered. But I've just tried to repeat Psalm 23 to myself at various points when it just pops back into my head. So I'm not sitting down like really thinking, but it's like we were just saying, if you sometimes just let the scripture just either put on like an audio book or something just to try and maybe get 30 seconds.
Don't you love that? Hearing somebody just be really honest and say, we're in a season of life where it's quite difficult, but we're going to let the word work where we can. And I love that thought of just God bringing scripture to mind in the flow of busy life. And yeah, it's great. Thank you. That's cool.
Any over here? Anyone? No? Got Holly.
So for me, it is going to be a morning daily prayer. But at the moment, I am tending to. I had an expectation of how my. Sorry if I cry. How my journey was going to go, and it is not going in the same direction. So I now need to pray and look to God and trust that He has a journey for me, and that I don't have to do it on my own and strength on my own. That actually, I have to put my strength in God to be able to live the journey that He wants me to have right now.
Holly, thank you so much. That's spot on, isn't it? That with these disciples, there was a different journey to the one that they're expecting. And Jesus wonderfully says, let us go somewhere else. He still invites them. And what a beautiful thought, don't you think, for Holly to say, Jesus, I'm going to go with you. It's not where I expected, but I am going to go with you. Okay, we're going to do something just to wrap up. I'm going to ask you maybe one or two people in each of your group, would you pray for each other? And it may be some things that have been shared are like really personal. There may be some, it may have been a real struggle in your group. And that would not surprise me at all because we're so not used to doing this in church family. But I want to encourage you to pray bold prayers for each other. Holy Spirit, would you help us to respond to your word? Is that okay? So just a couple of people, if you're willing to do that, and then we'll wrap up.
We hope you've had a really good morning. We certainly have enjoyed doing Discovery Bible Study. I know it's not what we had planned with Dave not being here, but it's been so good to get hold of Scripture and just to chew over it and learn from each other. And what I love about Discovery Bible Study is it doesn't matter if you've been a follower of Jesus for 50 years or you're still not quite there yet, we still have a response, don't we, to what we've read. We can still... have a response. We can still contribute. So we hope you've enjoyed it. We've loved having